Like Mr. Kellers is picking on me today. He told me I should fall and break my leg, and then he said he had to drink coffee so he could stay awake. So, so next time we'll try and make sure Ron's here. Okay. You know, this world we live in is getting worse by the day. I know you see it. You see what's happening with inflation. You see what's happening with respect for the United States. And you see all these sins that everybody just seems to be going crazy to do. I mean, you look at God's laws. Man, I mean, it's like super bad. Some groups are trying to do away with the law, this woke they have. It is amazing what's going on in our world. You and I know it's coming, though. That's the thing. And you and I must be prepared for it. And that's what God's Word's all about, helping us be prepared and ready for what's coming so that we don't have fear. We don't need to fear. God's in charge. He will take care of us. We have to totally trust and obey God, you know. In Hebrews 13:8, if you'll turn there, this is one thing that is so nice to know, and it keeps you so we can keep balanced on what we're talking about sometimes. It says in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In other words, there's no change in the way God is going to be because God and Christ are perfect. They don't have to change. They don't need to change. We know that we're the ones who had to change and are still having to change. Because they have opened your mind and my mind. And only because of that are we here today. The world has no idea. The world will argue with you. And when I was first coming into church, when I was talking to the minister, I said, well, you know, I said, yeah, you know, it's like they say, you know, as long as you go to church, it's okay. And what was his response? Nope. Bible says Sabbath. Well, I had the Protestant stance, and it says the Sabbath's done away with us. And he says, show me. So I spent a week or two, and he came back, and we discussed it again, and of course I was wrong. And I went back to my minister back home where I was from and talked to him because I knew him real well. And he couldn't do it, couldn't prove it. I said, if you weren't proving it, why aren't you doing it? So I had a lot of questions. I know when you are first called and you start understanding and God gives you the urge to say, come here, listen, isn't this different? And all of a sudden you say, wow, yeah, that's, wow, you're enlightened. And you know that it's true. You know that it's true. And then you start reading more and you find more truths. And you start doing them. And all of a sudden you get excited. I want you all to stop just 1 minute. Not a minute. 30 seconds. Look back at the day you were baptized. Try to remember. Some of us, it's a long time to go back. But try to remember how you felt when you went, you've been counseled, and you were going to be baptized. How happy were you? How excited were you? And you told God that day that you would do His will. I want to change and I want to do what God says. And everything was fine. You went away, you were dunked. All your sins were washed away. We all had our sins gone and a clean slate. That very day. You didn't have a sin one. And you were so happy and everyone who was there with you were so happy for you. Because they knew that God had opened your mind. Because only God can do that. Otherwise, why isn't the whole world doing it? What made you and I different that we said yes to the calling. Because it tells you there's many called and few, many called but few are chosen. Well, what that verse is telling you is that not many chose back. They were called. Many have been called. But they didn't choose to obey. That's the big difference. And when you choose to obey, you've what? Ooh, you made a commitment. And then you started living by it, studying and growing. You and I are here for one reason. And that reason is John 3:16. If you'll turn there, you know it by heart, I'm sure. We hear it many times. But it never hurts to be reminded. In verse 16, well, wait a minute, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what we're going to do. If we obey and do God's will, we're going to have everlasting life with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and everyone that God has created, and everyone is up in his heaven with him now. You and I, whether we're a finger, whether we're a foot, whether we're a shoulder or an arm, whatever we are going to be in God's kingdom, he has a place. He has a place for you and I to be a part of it. As you and I go about in the world, we need to make sure that we're setting that example every day. To each other and to the world. We are to be different. Because see, the world is ruled by Satan the devil. It is his world. It's the world that, as you see, he can turn around with his little finger and they are going bananas. The world is going crazy. And they do not even realize it. Because you cannot talk to people about a lot of subjects. And if you start telling people what you believe, you're definitely going to be thinking you are the crazy one. Not them, but you are. We are not the crazy ones. We are the ones who are in love with God. And with what God has taught you and I are going to go forward and serve God so that we can be in that divine kingdom. Last week, Barry Grady gave on the screen back there, he showed the universe right back there where the telescope brought it in. First time I saw that, I said, man, that's what we're going to be a part of. We're going to know every one of those planets. We're going to know everything. And if you don't think you're not very smart, that definitely makes you realize we know nothing of what God has planned for you and I. But it's going to be great. And we're going to have a part of it. God has picked each and every one of us. And you say, oh, who am I? You're God's child. That's who you are. When you took baptism, you became God's child spiritually too. We've always been God's children because he created everyone and made it happen. And we have been blessed in Dayton with a group that's able to be together as a family of Dayton, of God's family in the United Church of God. Some of us have been together for 50-some years. Some have only been here maybe weeks. Some may only been here a year. But I want to tell you what. Time does fly, and the love for each other will grow. When you're baptized, and you come back into the family, which is here, the people who are baptized are just like a little baby. Everybody wants to cuddle them, help them, and encourage them. And that's what we should be doing. Because when you had kids or grandkids, I guarantee you, whether it was the ugliest baby in the world, that baby is gorgeous. There's nothing like it. I remember watching Kramer on that one show one time. I can't think of the name of it now, but anyhow, years ago, I never got such a big kick. This lady had the baby, and she came up and said, "Look at my baby. Isn't she different, or isn't she beautiful?" He says, "Oh, she's something all right." You know? And so she asked the other guy, and the guy's going, "Oh," to his buddy, and the guy says, "What do you think of my baby?" He says, "Oh, he's right. She's different, all right." And then they're talking about how ugly a baby she was. You know, God doesn't think any of us are ugly. God doesn't think any of us aren't worthy, because He loves you and me, and that's why His Son gave His life, so that we could be with Him and Christ when He returns. Think about that. That's why God knows every hair on our heads. And I know none of you probably, well, I better not say none of you. That's a statement. I imagine that most of you never knew every hair on your kids' heads. I certainly didn't mind. But I might get a chance at it, look, if I want to count my own, because it's getting kind of thin up here, you know. But, you know, and we love our kids to death. You do anything for them. And that's what God has done for you and me. He gave His only begotten Son to come down here to be perfect so you and I would not have to die and not be in His kingdom. We'll die, but we'll be changed. I'd be a part of His family. Turn with me to John, 1 John 2, 1-2. John says, "My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, a helper, or a comforter with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Basically saying the same thing we saw in John 3:16. Repeat it again. Don't forget this. Remember this. We have all these examples. We have a world today that is definitely one that I don't think you want to stay in forever. Because it's going to just get worse until Christ returns. But we do want to be here because God has called us. And we know what's coming and we know our jobs. Our job is to be an example and a light to the world. Our example is to be of love for our living God, for Jesus Christ our Savior, and for each other and everyone in the world. We're to love the sinners, not love the sin, but we're going to love the sinners because we're hoping when we get in God's kingdom and we're part of the kingdom, you and I will help them understand what God has given you and me now. We have the understanding that the world yearns to know. Think about it, because they cannot understand it. The only way they can understand it is if God calls them. And He has called you and me. We need to always remember how blessed we have been. Because we have that roaring lion out there, Satan the devil, who would love nothing more than to bring you out away from God and just tear you apart. And let you feel like you fit right into this world that is all around you. And he will never give up. Satan is so evil that he will never give up. We have to have our guard up. We have to have our minds right. In 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world right now is Satan's. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And that's what you and I want to do. We want to abide forever with Jesus Christ and God the Father and his kingdom. But we cannot be a part of this world. We need to count our blessings every day. When we get up, to realize that God has called you and that he wants you to be a part of his plan. His huge plan that we saw just a little bit of, that is nothing out there that's going to be made to be something beautiful. Because everything God does is perfect. You want a perfect craftsman? How in the world does he make a little flea have veins, a heart, and everything to live? Think about that. They have these real tiny, tiny, but it's living. It's living. Someday we're going to understand every bit of that. We're going to be able to see it and say, wow. Most of us aren't that knowledgeable of that type of thing right now, but think about it. The tiniest thing, the tiniest God made. And some things we can't even see without a microscope. And just like the world's out there. When I was a kid, they said it was only so far out. Well, they get better with each one of these telescopes going out. And guess what? Now you can see back. Now there's probably thousands upon thousands of universes. And it doesn't seem to quit being growing because they keep finding out it keeps growing. So God hasn't stopped progressing. He has plans for you and me. And we're going to be a part of it. In Matthew 20:16, you know, that's where it talks about, you know, that he's called you and me. Remember each day that he's called you and me. When you get up in the morning and you're discouraged, think. Just think. God's not discouraged. He's wanting to see what you'll do today. Just as you watch a little baby grow and you say, oh, look at him. He's growing. Oh, she's so cute. She's walking. Do you realize how intricate God loves each of us? It's kind of hard to understand. But he does. He said, I appointed each of you for a reason. And Christ told us that he had a what? He went away to make a place for us in God's holy city. Let's make sure he doesn't have to take the name tag down. Let's make sure that we walk the walk. We talk the talk. And we bring joy to our God when he sees that we're willing sometimes to suffer things. But also looking at him and thanking him every day. We live in the greatest nation in the world at this time. And it's throwing itself to the pigs. It's going to slop. Because we've turned away from God. Our nation has turned away from God. Totally. No, maybe not totally. I won't say that. That's too much. But they've turned away from God. And the more they turn away from God, the worse it's going to get. And we look in Revelation, and Mr. Keller's given a good Bible study through Revelations. At the end, as Mr. Armstrong used to say, we're going to win. You and I are going to win. We're going to be in God's kingdom. We're going to be in God's holy city, New Jerusalem, which there's no city ever like it, not even near it. And when you think how big it is, and we'll know everybody. Can you realize our minds will be able to pick up everyone's names? I'm getting old now, and I walk up some people and I forget their name. I never used to do that. If I saw a face, I could tell you a name. Once in a while I walk up to someone, if it's a bad day, and guess what? I'm going like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Da-da. Hoping they'll say something that makes me, this old computer go around a little bit, that 360 computer, one of the first computers, go around, and I said, if I can just get another round on, I may catch their name. Then you won't ever have that problem. You won't ever forget a name. Remember Mr. Smith? He used to remember, he'd meet people and he had a way of associating, he could remember your name. He even asked me about my children 20 years after they quit going to church. Well, how's John doing? Or how's Kevin doing? Or how's you? I said, how in the world do you remember that? I see your daughter half the time down here in Cincinnati. I can't remember your daughter's name to begin with sometimes. I have to go through it, you know? But he had a way figured out, and he had a talent. He was able to associate. You and I are going to have all the talents we need. That is hard to believe, because I think I'm very few in a lot of the talents. But one of these days you have talent to do everything God wants you to do. You won't get tired, because the physical body will not be for you to be the mainstay in a physical body. Think about that. When you get older, you know, when you're about 25 years old and you say, I'm going to retire, and you say, boy, I'm going to do this and this and this. And guess what? You get my age, you say, well, I don't really travel too far, except for Fred. He goes back and forth up and down 75 like it's nothing. Him and Renee, I don't know how they do it. I'd be worn out. But, you know, and you get up so old, it's like, well, that'd be nice, but, you know, I don't really think I want to do that, you know? Well, I need a little bit more. I need a few more days. I can't do it in 3 days anymore. I need like 6 days to do that, to get that far and get back, you know? But when we're in God's kingdom, we're spirit, and we won't get tired. We'll be like that ever-ready battery, or not ever-ready, the battery that just keeps going, going, and going. We'll have that energy. So you and I have to make sure that you and I study and pray. And we look at ourselves. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it tells you, you need to study. You need to pray. I'm sure you read it many times. Make sure we have it in our everyday life. Because if you start slipping, there's a crack in your armor. And Satan will do everything he can to make the crack a little bigger. And the bigger he makes the crack, the crack, the more trouble you and I will have. And we're not to love this world. We're to come out of this world. And we do not want to go back in the world once we've come out of it. Turn with me to 1 John 4:7-8, if you would. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And that everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love doesn't know God, for God is love. God loves each of us. And we have to learn to love each other and those in the world. Not what they're doing, but we need to have love for them, because that's what God does. He's like the prodigal son. God's always looking for one of them to come back. There isn't anyone he wants to suffer. He wants to walk in the righteous path of him and his son, Jesus Christ, and be with him forever. We're the ones who have to make sure that we don't get a crack in our armor And if we do, which is a sin, we need to quickly repent. Repent and then stop doing whatever the sin was. That's the main thing, is not continuing to go back. Because if you continue to go back, that armor will open up real quick. And God doesn't want that. Let's drop down here to verse number 12. It says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we are abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. We're the ones that have to make the choice. God chose us, we chose to obey. We have to make that choice every day, because Satan's out there trying to take it away from you, that you'll make the wrong choice. How do you stop making the wrong choice? You stay close to God. And when Satan throws something at you, it's just like Christ did with Satan. He finished a sentence for him, but God says. But God says. Because you're going to know your Bible. You're going to know God. And you're going to love God. And you're going to want to do his will. And you will be doing his will. There's an opportunity for you and I to truly grow every day and be a part of this family. That's what he's called for, you and me. He's called for you and me to come out of this world and be a part of it and not be a part of it. In 1 John 5, it says, the first three verses, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Because all of his commandments are for your and I's good. That's why we need to keep his commandments in mind every day. God has to be our life. And with things happening around us, we need to make sure we're doing more studying than maybe we did before. Make sure we're being more thankful. Make sure we're being more courteous and kind to people. And basically really taking care of each other, because we have in our church here a lot of older people. And sometimes they can't do things that need to be done. But that's love. It's caring and doing. God loved us so much he gave his only son. Think about that. Christ suffered for you and me. Every Passover, we go through what Christ suffered. How would you like to suffer that way? Do you think you could make it? I hope I'd make it, if that was something God gave me to do. But if God gives us something to do, he also says he'll never tempt us with what we can stand and do. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I lived by that for many times when I first came to church. Because I was in the service trying to get out. And God did a lot of things to protect me in a lot of ways. I had a sergeant that hated me to the guilt, because not only was I a conscience objector, then I was very religious because of it. And every time I saw that guy, And I can remember his name to this day. And I was only with him for 4 months. He had me go down and give 20. And then at the end, it was so amazing that God stopped this man from picking on me. It wasn't me. I couldn't figure out how I was going to get through it because he was after me. And all of a sudden, God gave me the right words and went to the right people. And he had done some things to me. He had picked up my bed and just threw me out of bed. I mean, on Saturday morning, because I was in with Seventh-day Adventists. So they all got upset. There was like 50 of them. And he did a couple other things that all 50 of them saw him do. And so I went to the corporal one day. I said, ask if Sergeant Sutton-Shush would like to be a corporal after 13 years. I said, you tell him one thing, they're going to talk to him. I said, two things are probably going to be a little upset with him. I said, third thing, he'll probably lose his stripe. And guess who I walked into as soon as I walked out? Sergeant, give me 20, or whatever it was. So I gave him his money. But you know what? Everything changed after that. But I also went by God's principle, whatever you do, do with all your might. Because there are certain things I wouldn't do. So whenever I could do it, I did it with all my might. And it made a difference because he noticed that. I was what he would have called a rebel because I said, well, I won't yell, kill, kill, and I won't do certain things. And, of course, I'd be out there doing, what do you call it, calisthenics and everything for an hour nonstop because I wouldn't do it. And they were sitting there listening to an instructor. But I was out there, and he just had me work like a dog. And I was down in Texas, and, I mean, it was hot. It was in the summer. But God opened the door. So, anyhow, we used to go underneath the shooting gun before you go, where you crawl through, and I was always the first one through. And one day he said, about the next last week I was there, he said, you all need to do what Hemsley does. And I'm going, whoa, what happened to him? You know. So then the next week we graduated and he had a party for everybody. So by then he knew I was religious and all this and that. And he didn't like me because I was religious and a conscientious objector and a National Guardsman. So we go to his house and he said, well, I'd offer you a drink, but you probably wouldn't take it. I said, oh no, I'll have a drink with you. I thought he was going to fall over. I said, I'll just have one, but yeah, I'll have a drink with you. You know. So when I got out, they had nowhere to send me because they were trying to figure out where to put me next for my next assignment after basic and that. So I was held in the over bay, what do they call it, where you don't get to go anywhere. And he came up to me the first day and he says, Dave, go ahead and do what you want. Just make sure you're in at night. I want to tell you, that's a change. Wasn't anything I did. God opened the door. And God will do the same for each of us every time we have a problem. It may take us to the ninth degree, but God will take care of it. He promises. He promises we're his children, he'll take care of us. Sometimes we get in the way. I've done that before too. That's not good. I get in the way and cause problems sometimes. So realize most of our problems sometimes we bring on ourselves. But anyhow, I don't know how they got my story, but it wasn't in my notes, but anyhow. Okay, turn with me to Romans 12:1-2. You've read this many times, you've heard it many times. But it just reiterates what God says. Top of my thing here, it says, living sacrifices to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Because he knows what he's given us. In verse 2, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God will help us to go through this. God will help us to come out of this world. God will strengthen us. He will help us in every way because he's a loving father. He remembers when he was just a baby and had no bad thoughts. No bad thoughts. No bad ways. And then he cleared a way for us to make it to his kingdom through the sacrifice of his son. You know, once we've been called and we have God's Spirit in us, God warns us about not going back into the world. He's telling you, stay away from it. Stay close to me. Love me. Do my will. Obey my commandments. And I'm going to take you through and you're going to be in my kingdom for eternity. God has the path made. All we have to do is follow it. It's straight. It's narrow. Because most of the people can't see it and don't understand it and don't walk it. But you and I have been privileged enough to know God loves us and that God will take care of us. And we know that God doesn't lie. In Galatians 5:16, if you'll turn there with me. If I can get there. This is my usual Bible. It's falling apart. I haven't got a new one yet. I keep looking at ones and never take one. I don't know what's the matter with me. Okay, in Galatians 5:16. What do we start here? What is this? You've been here many times. Well, in verse 16 it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. We're going into what? Satan's way of life. This is what Satan does. This is what the people of the world are doing. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Now here we go. Okay, I went back. Okay, now which are adultery? Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Sorcery. Hatred. Contentions. Does that sound familiar? Jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And below it tells us what we will inherit if we obey God with His Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit that God has given you and me is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. Gentleness and self-control. Against these, against such as these, is no law. Because it's all of love. And that's what God is. You and I are blessed to know the great God and His Son, Jesus Christ, through His holy word. We believe, we trust, and we obey. We must continue, as this world gets worse, to be closer to our God and to each other. Because we're family. We're all family. And yes, we are to look out for each other. That's what families do. And every week, God the Father brings you and I back here on His holy Sabbath day. You didn't say, I'm going to keep the Sabbath. God said what? You're to keep the Sabbath and you're to be mine. And He brings His family together in every area. And we're to praise and worship God. We're to get to know each other better. We'll get to love each other more and develop and grow with God's Spirit in us and helping us so that when we're not together, we will have the strength, the energy, the love for God and obedience to God to not give in to Satan and to make sure that we keep our armor on and not let Satan take us out of God's way of life. Because you see, in 2 Peter 2:18 to 22, it's a very warning to each and every one of us that can happen to people, and it has happened to people. Second Peter 2:18. It does have a heading in my Bible. It says, description of false teachers. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through licentiousness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. That's what's being fought over with Russia. They don't want to be brought into Russia's bondage. We don't want to become into the bondage of the evil one, Satan. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, that having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his vomit, and a sow having moist to her wallowing in the mire. None of us want to do that. None of us want to go back to what we were before God called us. And to do that, he must love God, obey God, and we are the ones who change. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We're the ones who change. We're the ones that are around those that God has changed in the world. Look around us, what is happening? There's murderers everywhere, stealing and everything. And now they're not even picking them up. In these major cities, and they wonder why they have more violence. You and I have truly been blessed so much. And we need to be sure we're preparing. Because you see, the Feast of Trumpets is 51 days away. And in God's plan, That is when we will meet Jesus Christ and become part of his family and become part of his army and put down the world. We will have a part of that army being with him. That's 7 weeks, 7 more Sabbaths and 2 days. It will come quickly. Let's be sure that we keep looking forward, because that's the next thing that's going to be happening in God's plan. We went through the others, but now we're going down to the final finish. We'll come around that last term when you're running a race where you must sprint to be the winner. God has called each of you and every one of us here to be a part of his divine family. Let's be sure that as we saw that beautiful picture of what God has out there in that universe, that we have no idea what it is, that we claim the opportunity to be with Jesus Christ when he returns. Let's always remember that God has chosen each of us to be in his family.